Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You might hear the co-host here. He might ask for his food. Welcome to the Scales of Truth with me and my co-host. And today, I just heard such a good succinct phrase. We've normalized pathologizing ourselves. That is so interesting when it comes to big pharma. And where I got it from is an interview on Epoch TV, a woman named Laura Delano, D-E-L-A-N-O, who has written a book of, you know, being in the mental health system and then realizing, what am I doing? And so the interviewer asks, what's with all this, like, you know, self-diagnosis? And she goes, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. We've normalized pathologizing ourselves. And his example specifically was social media and all these kids talking about ADHD. And what is the quickest way into the mental health and big pharma? What is the literal gate for the youngest people? If it's not you're young and depressed, then it's ADHD. Is it not? And with that, then, I'm going to make this pretty short, I think. You know how it can run. But I'm going to pull up a couple of these headlines that they're showing. ADHD is presented as a quirky thing. It's almost become entertainment. The rise in ADHD diagnosis using TikTok videos to self-diagnose and questionable practices of private clinics revealed by BBC Panorama. Here's another one from El País, which I know means a country, but I don't know what country that's in. Being distracted, maybe it's Spain. Being distracted doesn't mean you have ADHD. The danger of self-diagnosis in teenagers. In the fight to raise awareness about this disorder, it has become normal to talk about it. But experts warn that in practice, the problem can end up being trivialized. And I would say it ends up being a term that this Delano woman used. It's ubiquitous. Just, you know, all of a sudden it's on TikTok, all of a sudden it's everywhere. Do you have ADHD? And whatever that weird computer voice that many TikTok videos have. And, you know, again, I said many a times, don't identify with your potential weakness. Like, I have allergic reaction sometimes, I'm sure, on some days that's what it is. Where I feel sick for a while, and like, that might have just been allergies. But if it's not really bad, then you deal with it. I know that sound, I hear the qualifier. And what I mean by that is don't set to understand what you can diagnose yourself with, or if you go ask a second opinion that they'll support you with it. Because there's degrees of things. What is something you can deal with day to day? As a regular human, it's kind of like what I talked about when I mentioned being, be careful what you wish for when you can get disability, because they'll probably give it to you. But does it really mean you can't hold down a job if you customized your job search a little bit more? Like, man, my shoulders don't work very well anymore. Well, there's probably some things where that can be some slight pain, but you'll still have productivity in your life. Or, you know, I am not good at math. Okay. Well, there's probably some things, you know, I'm considered not very smart. There's some low mental effort jobs out there. You're probably good. You know, these types of things. My mental isn't what it used to. Well, then don't get a mentally complex job. And I am just using that if it reminds me of that conversation, but it's this type of thing. It's like you don't sit there and it again, then to what it said, it's like this entertainment. It's like self-diagnosis is our little entertainment. It's like our old, you know, pop psychologist idea. Here's another King's College London, the role of social media in self-diagnosing ADHD. Insight from Science or Fiction Live. From APS, I'm not sure what that stands for, but 9 March 2024. Why has everyone suddenly got ADHD? So yeah, I'll make this episode short, but that was such a succinct way of saying the issue. We've normalized pathologizing ourselves. And then her saying that, you know, it's in the milieu now. It's just generally a part of our atmosphere, you know, our ether almost, of just drugs. I say one other thing that really irritates me. I have a family member who is addicted to this stuff, this idea that it's going to help, but somehow 20 years in, she's still depressed and they still just need to adjust it. And then even when they need to adjust it, then now it's like, oh, well, is your one not very effective? Take the other one. And one of the comments I on this very video, the comments are closed. It said, yeah, we never used to talk about stacking them. It's like, of course you didn't. But then some marketing, I've told you over and over, the marketing team and the executive team fucks up science every fucking time. So they're like, oh, yeah, if you got if you're taking antidepressants, depressives, and you're still depressed, don't stop the others, because we probably fucking own that patent too. But also take this. Did you just make the argument that you gave me something as a solution, and it's so shitty that I should now pay double by having a second thing, but that it's not shitty enough to stop that thing? Did you just make that argument? And the other aspect of that is what I was going to say is the phrase that drives me crazy. Meds. I got to get my meds. Got to get my meds. It's just a short little cute word. You know, it's like pals. It's like, this is my meds. It's like, drives me crazy. All right, guys, that's it for today. I'm expecting that this video, which I don't know, I do subscribe. I don't know about you. I mean, I do keep track of my subscriptions, but probably like most people, because it doesn't show up on your doorstop. You know, you're not looking at the thing, you know, like old physical papers and magazines. You're not necessarily looking at the thing. You need a reminder to go check out your Epoch TV or Epoch Times subscription. And I've definitely don't get to it all the time, but it's a very trusted source. I love it. It's got a lot of great, you know, video content as well as, you know, really good story content. So highly recommend. But I'm sure there's some other great stuff in this. Again, it's what the mental health industry doesn't tell you, Lori Delano. Another thing for the person that, for me, I mean, the person I'm talking about in my life, this, when you get this, it must be able to fix me complex. It doesn't fucking matter if it does. You still say, well, I got to do that because that's that. And then it's a part of you. Like your identity is getting the stuff. And what happens then is because like, well, I've got to do that. And it becomes this spending spree. Now, my loved one has more health problems than just, you know, the medicine. But nonetheless, even that can start to happen. Before you know it, they're not on one and they're not on two. And then before you know it, they're not on five or seven. They're on like 13. And there's no way the Pfizer Circle of Health doesn't come into play there then because of almost everything being an inhibitor. I freaking told you this many, many times. Almost every patented drug, it does not boost this. It simply makes something relatively work better because something else has been inhibited. Some other regular activity has been decelerated or stopped. You know, the classic, the thing I hate so much about the new diets, it ends in one. And it says, oh, guess what? You'll lose weight if we make your stomach stop working. You don't think there's a side effect for that? Yeah. Oh, you might get stomach paralysis. So with everything being an inhibitor, so many things being an inhibitor, well, those things, that thing that you're inhibiting does a lot more than just your mood. It has physical effects too. And like I said, the nanoparticles and in medications now that can breach the blood-brain barrier because the nanoparticles are used as the drug carriers. That's in many episodes. So I would highly recommend this video. Presumably, she might go into some of those side effects. Loved one who is addicted to these, and you know, but it really ends up that even though she's addicted to them and they supposedly help her, and see, it's a perfect bluff. Her house is a mess and she doesn't get to her stuff and she's way overweight. Well, then, see, just think of how much worse it would be. So even though she's on these things, when she has another catastrophic moment, like losing a job, then she's just as depressed as she's ever been, and she's always generally depressed. So then it becomes the perfect cover. Well, what if I didn't? Well, just think, it could be worse if you didn't have those. Well, you know what? I can give you placebo pills, and we have the same argument. And in fact, you can even argue placebo effect has the same argument. Like, you know you're giving them placebo pills. And then for some people, because there is some effect, but there's not a real physical effect, they just manifest how they interpret it, or their body manifests things differently. You say, well, that's not really working for this person, but I can still make the argument once they say, I'm still pretty depressed, or whatever it is, depending on the placebo effect and the drug. I'm still pretty bad. You go, well, just think, you'd be even worse without it. So hopefully they go into some of the drug effects. I've told my sister about the fact that the nanoparticles are used as drug carriers, and they're so unnaturally small that means they can pass the blood-brain barrier. That means they are not detected by the body as properly, and it's something that then causes autoimmune disease, which she has. I'll make one other quick tie-in to other things I've said. You can go find that nanoparticles are drug carriers. You can go find that antidepressants cause autoimmune. And then you can see that among the autoimmune diseases where your body attacks itself are skin disorders. And skin disorders are everywhere, and they're a side effect of antidepressants and other medications. And we just didn't used to have these kind of skin disorders. The skin is the most important barrier there is. It's meant to be a barrier. Think how much priority must be given to it. If the whole concept it is the barrier to the dirt and the infectious threats of the entire outside world. And then think of a case where now a decent percent of the population, their skin doesn't even just keep its integrity. That never used to be the case. And now people just walk around with eczema and bad, bad skin conditions, all the way to the point of the most healthy, continuously improving and growing, cell reproducing among us have the problem. And it's children have the problem. If anybody should have perfect skin, it's children. Anyway, I've repeated a little, but sometimes it's good to repeat a little. Yes, we have normalized pathologizing ourselves. All right, guys, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth.